Five, four, three, two, one. Hello, everyone. Welcome back. This is the Full Press Hockey Weekly Show. No, we're not on Twitter. We soon will be on Twitter, though. X, Facebook, whatever you call it. You know, when the producer of this thing, Ian, yeah, he's the third member of the NWO. I'm your host, Jim Berenger, rocking and rolling alongside Chris Wasso, always here for you. Full Press Hockey Weekly, get it, at Full Press Coverage on Twitter, at Full Press NHL on Twitter, at Full Press Coverage Facebook, Full Press Hockey on Facebook, and wherever you get your podcast on iTunes and Spotify, you know the deal. It is Full Press Hockey Weekly after dark. We promise this to you. It's after dark because I got back. I'm in Toronto, live in Toronto, by the way. Hockey Hall of Fame weekend. What a weekend. What a day. What an afternoon. Ring ceremony was awesome. Hall of Fame game was even better. Leafs, they do it the hard way. Defense, man. Something about the defense is in this thing. But first, Chris, welcome to Hockey After Dark.
It's the most beautiful thing that you could ever ask for, ladies and gentlemen. It's hockey. It's late at night for us that, you know, used to live on the left coast.
It's still early on the left coast.
It used to be fun because you used to sit there and do like, we used to do this like super ridiculously late, like 10 p.m. Pacific time podcast with my buddy Timmy Rosenthal on the East Coast, and he'd be like, "Why are we doing it this godly hour?" And
it's because like, you live on the left coast, that's why.
I was like, because I was full on degenerate.
That's it.
We have also obviously successfully escaped from Atlantic City.
I see that. Yes. How much money did you leave with? Since this is hockey after dark,
left with a little over $3,000 total. So.
It's not bad. How much you go with is the real question.
Laughably, I only went with about $300. I was pretty confident on this one.
Yeah, that's a pretty successful weekend, I'd say.
Yeah.
I'd say so.
Pays for car insurance in New Jersey these days. You know?
I'll tell you that. At least that, you know, I only have to pay for car insurance these days. At least my car's paid off.
Yeah.
All right, so before this thing goes off the rails that it already is, because it's told you, it's hockey after dark. You don't know what you're getting here. You really don't know what you're getting. Let's start with it. Major topic of conversation in the National Hockey League, Edmonton Oilers. Where do we begin? And if you saw the work that I've been putting in, NHLRumors.com, I mean, just been crushing it. We've just been nonstop Oilers pretty much 24/7. Embarrassing loss to San Jose. Would you agree, Chris, this is just not a Jack Campbell problem?
This is a whole just organization, coaching, players, just something just – there isn't just one thing that's off. There's about 70 billion things off with this team right now, and it's not something that's getting fixed anytime soon. Even the vaunted power play, where'd it go, Jim?
Disappeared, baby. Disappeared. Because your two best players aren't the two best players right now. I give Draisaitl credit. He's doing what he can. But Connor McDavid has to be hurt because I have not seen Connor McDavid play like this ever.
No, this is unusual. So for those that don't understand like just how bad this has become for Edmonton, let's put it this way. They have that many wins.
Two
wins. And it's not like we're like four or five games into the season anymore. We're a full, just about almost a full month now. Almost a full month into the season. Very, very wrong.
Something's very wrong. And one of those wins was outdoors as a home game. They actually have zero wins at home indoors. And if you think about it, right? You know, they point the finger at Jack Campbell, and you can point the finger all you want. It's easy because he makes $5 million. That's all well and good, right? That's all fine and dandy. Yeah. But it's not just Jack Campbell. Stuart Skinner has to be better, and the guys in front of him have to be better, right? Yeah. Like, the guys in front of him have to play a better team defense. And again, I'm waiting for my telestrator, Ian. I think that's – I need a telestrator because, you know – Talking with guys up here, very, very knowledgeable hockey guys in Toronto. And they're very impressed with my knowledge of the game because I actually played the game and I understand the game. This blocks plus one, not working, bud. Like, Jay Woodcroft is part of the problem, too. Like, you don't change from a man-to-man that worked to a box plus one. I mean, that's not something you mess with. I know defensively need to be a little bit better, but this is just exposing everybody for who they really are. And it's not a good hockey team defensively with Darnell Nurse, Cody Ceci. I mean, guys are not even, they're just not a great pair. Evan Bouchard's not the player that we expected him to be. Matthias Ekholm's taking a step back. And they're just not getting the secondary scoring. And whose fault is that? It goes all the way up to the general manager because this his hands are tied because of the salary cap. He really can't make any improvements.
Yeah, the only way out is themselves.
Right. This is on the players. The accountability. Yeah. Got to bench players for bad plays. I mean, we see it all the time, right? We're seeing it all the time. And it's you see it in New Jersey, you see it in Calgary, but Jay Woodcroft has yet to bench a player. Look, we know Evander Kane benched himself because, you know, he just fought and decided, hey, I wasn't doing nothing in the game anyway, so I'm just going to go sit for 5 more minutes. But when Evan Bouchard makes a mistake like that against the Vancouver Canucks earlier in the week, that's a problem. You bad pinch, and then you don't back check, and then your guy scores. That's just awful. They're letting too many high danger zone chances up. I believe it's 60% of the goals they've given up this year from the high danger area. So that's not a good number whatsoever.
And it gets worse for them too. I mean, if you start looking at some of this, and I mean, how does it, you know, it's the old question. Well, how does it get better?
It doesn't.
No, it really doesn't. I mean, they have to fight their way through this.
And we've seen them do it. I mean, they had struggles last year and Woodcroft made the adjustments, but it feels like he's on a very, very short leash. And if they don't win Saturday night, he might not make the weekend.
The seat is a little toasty.
It is, but again, who are you going to replace him with? Because it's probably not going to be the associate coach that's there.
No.
They both probably have to go, right?
I would think you almost have to. I mean, what do you do? I mean, look, Steve Staley. Wow. I mean, talk about a hierarchy that has a heck of a decision or decisions to make.
Right. Big time. I mean, you got Darryl Cates, who's a very finicky owner. Jeff Jackson's there, kind of wishes he might still be a player agent, maybe not in this mess. And and then now the questions everybody you see, and again, he probably won't leave, but you have to start to wonder if things don't improve. What about Connor McDavid's future? What about Leon Draisaitl's future? I mean,
yeah, I mean, granted, there's some insane stuff with this. So, playing medieval advanced stats here, and this is where it gets really freaky, and this is why some people say, well, oh, it's got to turn around eventually. This is a team that ranks in the top 10 in scoring chances galore.
Right.
I mean, you know, scoring chances, expected goals for, expected goals against, even. I mean, it's there, but there's several things that have to happen. One, your defenseman can't keep making boneheaded mistakes.
No, absolutely not. 100%. That cannot happen.
Two, and you know, obviously we've said this more times than I can count. You always got to make a save.
1,000% goalie's got to make the save. 1,000% goalie's got to make the save. And that's just not with Edmonton. That's just not Edmonton at all.
I mean, they're getting outscored by 12 goals at even strength.
Yeah.
That shouldn't happen. And their schedule hasn't been that difficult.
No, it hasn't been. I mean, you had Nashville, they beat up, and you thought right. when Nashville came to town, oh, okay, you know, we're going to take care of business again. No, everybody else is having point night against the Sharks, but they can't do it, and they lost to Vancouver three times.
Yeah, I mean, granted, the third time, okay, I get it. At least one of those goals probably should have counted somewhere in there.
Right, but
it didn't.
What about the first two times?
Mm.
What's the excuse game one when you get blown out 8-1?
Yeah, you can't, like, you can't walk into opening the season and get you got snowman.
Right, exactly.
That's the thing with Edmonton. I mean, this year has been completely different from what anybody expected. How do you fix that?
We don't know. I mean, they got to fix it themselves. It's on the players to fix it, right? It's on the players. Like, it really is on the players to get it fixed. And things aren't changing anytime soon in Edmonton. And you feel bad for Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl, and they're doing their best. But again, you look at the secondary scoring. Evander Kane, where are you at? Ryan Nugent-Hopkins is MIA. Zach Hyman. Like, the list goes on of players. And the guys that they didn't want to keep that were helping this team, defensively, they're not good. Again, go back to the goaltending. Yes, Jack Campbell, again, needs to make a save, but you have a $9 million defenseman that isn't a $9 million defenseman anymore. And he was never a $9 million defenseman, so something's got to change in Edmonton, and it's got to be on the players. They have to right this ship, but they have to figure it out. Because what happens if the coach goes away and this keeps and this doesn't change? Like, I mean, Ken Hitchcock is not coming back to the Edmonton Oilers. I hate to say it. Like, he's not. He likes his job, from what I'm told. And I heard it from the horse's mouth. He likes to be connected in small ways. You know, you don't want to be fully unconnected, but I think he likes the fact that if things aren't going the way of a team he's working with, he can shut the TV off.
Yep.
Not surprising. Not surprisingly, right? So, again, Edmonton is an issue. We stay in the province of Alberta, Calgary. They played in the Hockey Hall of Fame game tonight. Congrats to Mike Vernon, by the way, going in. Very cool dude. Very funny moment tonight. If you didn't watch the game, when he was introduced, he walked right by pretty much everybody on the way down for the ceremonial puck drop. I know Eddie Belfour a couple years ago had the leather jacket, but this dude didn't even shake anybody's hand. I mean, Vernon's a crazy cat to begin with, but I mean, this dude didn't even shake anybody's hand. I think he stopped for a couple of people when they told him to, but he was walking straight down. But no, congrats to Mike Vernon. But Flames, something's up there, man. This team continues to struggle. They played better against Toronto, down 4-1. They rally, but that says more on Maple Leafs not playing a great defensive game. They'll let this team back in it. Up 4-1, you're not closing the deal. And then you got to go win in a shootout. Not a good look. And we'll get to William Nylander in a minute. But the Flames are a mess, man. They really are. The province of Alberta is a complete mess.
Yeah, what is it with Alberta this year?
I don't know, man.
I would like to thank William Nylander, though. Just
Me too. Me too.
I was kind of the only, I guess the only disappointment was, I figured power play goal, shorthanded goal, come on, even strength goal in overtime, come on, But yeah, getting the 2+ goals at +500 probably was enough.
Yeah,
it's fair, We're getting it's fair. There and got our hands stuck in the cookie jar. But I don't know. I mean, look, we get it. You get Mark. Look, Markstrom's not what he used to be for whatever bizarre reason.
And he's hurt.
And he's hurt now. So I mean, obviously, you have that.
I think the biggest thing this Flames team, what happened to this Flames team and their psyche, you can go back to that Oilers series. That playoff series with the Oilers, that Battle of Alberta, everybody wanted.
Yep.
And they got completely beat up. That first game changed everything for this team.
It traumatized them.
It really did traumatize him. I mean, it was bad enough the Flames can't really beat the Oilers in the playoffs as it was, but that Flames team was really good, and they were just completely thrown off their game.
Yep.
You have Jonathan Huberdeau being benched for a third period when you rallied to beat a Nashville Predators team.
Yeah, you don't want to say it, but there is kind of a, for lack of a better term, almost sort of curse around Huberdeau at this point.
I believe something's not right with him.
Yeah, something just, it's just not happening. I mean, look, 12 games, and I know plus minus is like just the worst overrated stat in the history of life.
But it isn't.
But when it's this bad,
your clubhouse leader at the Masters?
You're 8-year extended guy who should, you had 115 points once upon a time.
And I want to ask you this question. Mm-hmm. When I recorded the Full Press Hockey Podcast with Bruce this afternoon,
yep,
I brought this point up and I was looking at his stats. Should we really have expected Jonathan Huberdeau to really put up another 115 point season, not 50? That was Connor McDavid. Because he only did that at 92. If you look, mm-hmm, actually look at his stats, he's a career 55 to 75 point guy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, if you start going through this, okay, you know, throughout like year one, year two, etc., maybe even year three, loses, you know, he never really has that breakout year until
after COVID,
2019.
Yeah, 92 points, but then it drops, and I know it drops because you're playing.
He was injured.
It was COVID.
COVID.
But still, I mean, prorated, you have what, 80? I mean, what, there were 72 games left in 1920 when they stopped, right? They played 72 games or something, right? Something like that.
Yeah, it's like 60. He played in 69. But yeah, there was depending on the team, there was about 10 to 12 games left.
He was at what? Now. What did he end up finishing with that year?
All right, so COVID year, he had 78 points in 69 games. He did have 40 points in his last 28 games, though. He was really up.
So if the season doesn't stop, he hits 90.
At least
90. The following year, what did he have in the shortened season?
He had 61 in 55 games. So I mean,
that's not bad.
You know, is it point and a quarter, point and a third a game, where, you know, you're looking at, you know, this guy that's perpetually at 100 or above points? No.
I still say he's a career 55 to 75 point guy. And look at the guys he played with in Florida, right? Hmm. You know, Barkov was on his line.
Yeah.
Very talented, skilled player. I believe early on he also played with Jaromir Jagr.
Hmm. That he did.
So, I mean, the type of system also matters what you're in. And this just doesn't seem to be working out for him. And I don't understand it. And I said it, and I'll say it again. Jack Eichel signed a similar deal in Buffalo, and he probably should have waited. I don't understand why he rushed to sign this deal.
That makes sense.
Right? It's really fun. It didn't make sense, and I think this was a move by Brad Shea living to save face because Johnny Gaudreau and Matthew Tkachuk left. Yeah. One was traded, and the other left via free agency 2 days before free agency started.
Yeah.
That stinks. Remember, Bill Zito was also criticized for that deal, right?
Roundly and soundly at the time, yeah.
And who's winning that deal right now?
Bill Zito.
He is. I mean, Mackenzie Rigger's played well for, I mean, he's played, I mean, he's not going to put up points, so we really can't look at points for Uyghur, but I think he's been a solid defenseman for the Flames.
Yeah, it's weird. He actually hasn't been that bad. It's actually been, his forwards around him that have been worse.
Right, exactly.
By the way, Huberto's been on the ice for quite a bit of the goals against when Uyghur is unfortunately on the ice, and usually mistakes have not been Uyghur's fault per se. But it's rough. I mean, look, minus 12 in 12 games.
Not or, good.
You know, and then obviously that's not even including, well, tonight, of course.
I mean, he did have an assist tonight.
Yeah, I mean, it's progress.
But still, it's not much progress.
You're asking a lot, Jim. Okay, not really. But
not really. I mean, for a guy that everybody expected to have a bounce back year, remember, Darryl Sutter's not there anymore. Oh, first year is Darryl Sutter. Well, remember the Flames also only missed the playoffs by 3 points because they can't beat bad teams.
And they couldn't hold for third period leads.
Right. And they still can't.
Which, of course, promptly that happened in the first week. So, yeah. I mean, at least I joke, at least they got out of the way. But, yeah. It's one of those. By the way, when are the Devils just going to, like, just say, hey, you know what? We just take Washington off the schedule.
I mean, I wasn't going to bring it up, but my final thought before that is be like, look, Kevin Weeks just put out a tweet about Zadorov. Zadorov's name's been out there, and I'm going to confirm it because I talked to some people this weekend. His name's out there. His name's out there. Yeah. Zadorov's name's been out there. Does he go to Toronto? Does New Jersey look at it? I think New Jersey should look a guy like Tanev. They need a defenseman to go with Luke Hughes. Look, this could be the fan in me. This is the analyst in me. I'm not always in this room, but when other people watch the game who cover the team religiously, I consider myself a national writer and a local writer at times, but more of a national guy.
Right.
When people who cover the team all the time consistently bring up Brendan Smith, why is he not out of this lineup?
I think you're literally just going to have to, you hate to say this, somebody's just going to have to, like, get the lead pipe out, Soprano style.
Tanya Harding. I mean, look,
these are things that you never want to say publicly.
No,
but there
and again,
apologies
for throwing this out in the universe for somebody to get injured. Again, this is hockey after dark, so, you know. Everything's off the table.
Apply. All right. So here are the numbers going in tonight. So we talked about Edmonton in this, like, double digit differential,
right,
as far as 5-on-5 goals. Guess who also is in the 5-on-5 negative double digit club as well?
New Jersey.
New Jersey, ironically. So going into tonight, they were being outscored 31-21. So it wasn't quite as still bad.
It's still bad.
And
they still can't beat Washington.
By the way, Washington added three of those. And granted, they were early, and that was when the Devils were sleeping.
Of course.
Somebody.
Again, giving up the first two goals, and then playing 35 minutes of hockey.
Yeah, I mean, look, let's put it this way. It's not the first time we've seen this against Washington, and it probably won't be.
No.
Look, Washington could have an average age of 460, and this will probably happen against New Jersey.
The Devils have this, like, awful record against Washington in the Backstrom Ovechkin era. It's ridiculous.
Right. It's like New Jersey against St. Louis.
Yeah. Oh, in St. Louis.
Oh, yeah. By the way, that's also usually it gets accompanied by injuries, unfortunately, which it. It did
again,
game.
Again, it did. And again, this team is, you know, when you're missing your, let's be honest, your two best centers and your best player, like, no offense to everybody, other guy on the team, but Jack Hughes is the best player on the team. Nico Hischier is just not right. And again, I will say this to the hill, and I'll, this will be the, you know, hill I die on. He should have never come back in that Buffalo game because now he's going to be out longer and it could be a Crosby situation. From what I've heard. Again, not confirmed, but what I've been hearing.
Had another setback.
You know, I know he did.
That I can confirm.
That and I can confirm. You know, he had another setback. I angered
my fair share of media people with that. But I'm like, look, the bottom line is I'm staring at this. I mean, somebody.
He gets rocked against Pollock. He gets rocked by Clifton and comes back in the game and gets rocked again. He got three big hits in less than a week.
Not good.
No. Not good. It's really like a Crosby situation.
Yeah, we saw that. And no matter a fan of what team you are.
No, but you know, you never want to see guys get hurt and out of the game and the Devils miss him. You can see it. You can clearly see it. And you saw it, and I saw the picture when I got back from the Leafs game tonight. Nico looks miserable.
He wants to play.
He wants to play, but he can't.
So you know what it is. We can't even report what it is. All right, for example, talking to
some people,
you know, talking to Jan Levine quite a bit.
Yeah,
and you know, playing pick the brain because it's kind of
play medical doctor.
It's like this is textbook concussion behavior. I mean, you can see it. You
know it.
And you know it's not a shoulder or collarbone or some kind of thing with the neck or anything like that. And you've seen it with other players already this season that were out way longer than they were supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of concussions
around
the league that just aren't being reported as
concussions.
Again,
I'm not playing medical doctor here on Hockey After Dark. I really don't want to play medical doctor.
No.
But it's not a good thing to do it.
Nope.
But he's not coming back for a while. Like, all these people are like, oh, well, you know, it's day to day with him. No.
It's not.
No, it's not. He may not be back until late December, if not early January.
It's very possible.
Very possible. Look,
could he come back sooner? Sure,
he could. But when an autograph event, and I know this is a fan thing, and you can connect the dots, whatever. But when an autograph event is canceled that he was supposed to have mid-November, that's another sign that he's not ready for lights and doing things.
Yep. I mean, when we got tipped off, I'm in Atlantic City of all places, and all of a sudden I hear, and it's like, wait. Oh,
I made some calls. I made some calls when I heard it. When I first heard it, what was going to happen?
Yeah, it's something you never want to hear.
Nope. But
yet,
let's
we're here fake of all realities because look, and I'll put this out there. That's on the coaching staff.
It is on the coaching. That's on the medical staff for allowing him back in the game.
Yeah, I mean, somebody should be fired. This isn't the first time this happened with New Jersey.
Paul Martin.
Oh God. Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, like, let's be honest. I mean, that wrist injury
ruined his career.
Ruined his career in New Jersey, at least.
Yeah.
That's why he didn't stay.
Yeah, could you blame him?
Nope. But even when Nico and Jack were in this lineup, this team still had defensive problems. And they still have defensive problems. And look, you can praise Tom Fitzgerald all you want. You can say to him everything, oh, great, all these. He still didn't address the issue. This team needs a goaltender that can make a save.
Well, you have a 1D. You just don't have a consistent enough 1A, and you have at least one to two liabilities on defense.
And so, look, and take Luke out of it because he's a rookie and we know he's going to make mistakes.
Right.
So that leaves John Marino. That leaves Dougie Hamilton, Jonas Siegenthaler, who made some mistakes. He's made a lot of mistakes this year. And Brendan Smith. Now, we haven't seen what Colin Miller could be because he got hurt. And maybe they're waiting to see what he can be. But they need a defensive defenseman to go with Luke Hughes. I can't emphasize this enough.
Yeah, it's always been said, too.
Look what it did for Eric Karlsson in Ottawa. Look what it did for P.K. Subban in Montreal and in Nashville. What it did for Miro Heiskanen down in Dallas. And what it did for Adam Fox across the river.
Yeah. You gotta have these glue guys that are able to know their position to allow the other guy on the pairing to flourish. It's not that hard, people.
It really isn't. But, you know, for me, like looking at this and being at games and analyzing this stuff and seeing combinations, when Luke Hughes played with John Marino, I believe it was the St. Louis game. Might have been the Minnesota game. Not sure which one. They looked really good together, but Lindy Ruff doesn't want to keep chemistry together.
We want to roll the same stuff out there. Weird sort of year. I mean, look at the preseason, how much chemistry this team had. And then
we just take it away because one move took chemistry away from this team. We decided, well, Holtz isn't good enough to play with Meyer and Heischer, so we're going to put Mercer there, and it screwed up everything.
Yep.
And then that's the fan side of me. But from the analytic side of it and from the analyst side from it, why screw up something when it was working? What does Lindy Ruff have against this kid?
I don't know. I really don't. I mean, I don't get it. You know, it's the old, if somebody can enlighten me on this, then maybe, yeah. But there's just something there. And then, on top of it tonight, I guess the final insult is this. So you didn't scratch him after all the talk all day of potentially scratching him. And then you play him 7 minutes and 5 seconds.
I'm not to be a play agent because I'm not an agent. But whoever his agent is probably going to be getting on the phone after this year and saying, get him, get me out of here. Because what does he have to do to play in the top six? He did it. And he was having chemistry with Heischer and Meyer. And we took it away. He's not a fourth line player. You see what Alexis Lafreniere is doing. You're seeing what Quentin Byfield is doing.
Yeah.
You're seeing what Matthews Knies is doing in Toronto.
Yeah.
When Mike Straw was here, shout out to our boy. We talked about it all the time. These guys have to play where they're supposed to play. You cannot make a player something they're not. Let's face facts. Alexander Holtz is not going to be a defensive stud.
No.
But he has a gifted shot. And he has an offensive talent. And I guarantee you, if he's on a team with Detroit reunited with Lucas Raymond, you're going to see that.
And the whispers are at least there. We're ready.
I know. It's not just the fans on Twitter. I've been told by some people that they would not be shocked to see Holtz traded.
Yeah. I mean, I talked to somebody that happened to be down in Atlantic City. You know, two or three media people said the same thing. Don't be surprised.
Could be a package for a goalie. Could be a package for a defenseman like a Zadorov, like a Tanev. Who knows? By the way, Pierre LeBrun confirmed what I've heard and multiple others have heard, that Zadorov wants out of Calgary. Right. No surprise. No surprise. He's going to be the first. He's not going to be the first of the Exodus because Elias Lindholm and Noel Hannafin are joining him.
Yeah, from based on what we've been seeing, at least, if Lindholm is not a trade deadline deal, I'll be very shocked.
Yeah,
because the body language says it all.
Yeah, he's not, as much as he said he was going to stay, he ain't staying.
He's not staying.
Hannafin's not staying.
No, not for this.
I wouldn't stay if I was in their shoes either.
No.
I'd be returning back to this.
Oh, Jesus.
No, but all seriousness, but the Devils need to fix something defensively. They need a bit more grit. They need something. Man, they really do need something. I mean, I got to ask you, I don't know if you've heard anything, but when I was talking with Bruce, he continues to bring this up. Scott Stevens, get him back in the organization. Does he just not want to coach? Does he not want to not be a consultant? Does he just not want to be around the game? Because he could fix a lot of problems with this organization right now and reunite with, like, fix what went wrong when he left this organization and get the reunion back.
Yeah, it's a great question, and I think there's only one person that knows that answer, and that's Scottie Stevens himself. I don't know. I mean, it seems like he had a pretty good time here, you know, aside from the end, obviously. Everybody knows how acrimonious the end was.
Right, and it was acrimonious with Brodeur, too, but they figured out a way to resolve that.
Yeah, so is there a way to bridge that gap? It probably is. Then it comes down to Stevens himself and whether he would want to come back. I mean,
I could see a scenario if they do it, maybe do like a Larry Robinson thing we saw in San Jose and now St. Louis, where he just does home games.
Yeah, it wouldn't be a shock. I don't think that's a bad thing necessarily. Can't hurt. It's but needed.
It is needed. It's definitely needed. Look, when you have guys like Larry Robinson and Scott Stevens and guys like that coaching these young defensemen, it goes a long way. It makes a huge difference. Makes a huge difference. So we'll see what happens in New Jersey. They got defensive problems. Look, you see it. Calgary, Edmonton, New Jersey, defensive problem. Maple Leafs got defensive problems too, a 4-1. I know 3-goal leads don't mean anything anymore. In the National Hockey League, they really don't. But you're 4-1. I mean, and the Flames aren't a good team. They should have won this game going away.
Yeah, I mean, look, this coming in, it's kind of funny. There was two games tonight, and this is where it's really, really weird and odd. We had two teams that were below 500 at home playing against two teams that were below 500 on the road. And it didn't end pretty.
No.
You know, I mean, you know, obviously for Toronto, they were able to at least salvage 2 points.
Right.
Which, by all rights, they probably shouldn't have at that point, given, you know, how they scored the first goal in itself. You know, the other one is ongoing right now. And somebody forgot to tell Anaheim that the game has started. Then again, there was that late injury that got reported this afternoon. That wasn't a surprise because, again, another one of those cases where it's like, well, you know, the guy is hurt, but nobody's really saying anything.
Oh, who was that? I missed it.
Zegras was out.
Oh, he was hurt? Oh, no surprise. Oh, because he came late to camp, right?
Yeah. And that's another issue of himself. So naturally, Leo Carlson has to play a third game in the week. He looks completely gassed. And the Flyers.
Well, okay. So, all right. So let's take this for twofold. I have an issue with what Pat Verbeek's doing.
And welcome to pitch count and load management, ladies and gentlemen.
That's why the kid's gassed, because his lungs and his stability aren't used to playing three games in a week. And he may not look great doing it, but he needs to be playing every game because his body needs to adjust to it, because eventually he's going to have to.
At some point.
It's going to happen, right? I mean, they're playing a Flyers team that is really upset and annoyed that they lost to San Jose.
A little bit.
Oh, and by the way, Carter Hart's sick, so.
And the irony is, you would have thought, okay, just from previous, this is why I say previous meetings early in the season don't always mean a lot.
No.
So, Samuel Ersin, as we all know, was in goal when Anaheim absolutely shelled Philadelphia.
Yep.
In Philadelphia.
Yep.
What's he doing tonight? Okay. Learn. He did a little homework.
Figured it out. Ready.
Has that thing going that we don't like to mention too loudly.
No. Nope.
But he's making the saves that he has to. Yeah, granted, I get it. Anaheim doesn't have obviously Zegras in the lineup. You know,
he's not an impact player right now anyway, so it doesn't really matter.
Yeah, I mean for those that think that like Zegras is like a big deal tonight. All right, so
it's not a big deal.
Why? Guess how many points he has in 12 games, Jim?
One. Two. Oh, two. Big deal. Oh, he's got
and
two.
And that's a secondary assist, by the way.
Oh, big deal.
Oh, it gets worse. So if you thought that was bad in of itself, put it in perspective. I mean, obviously, he can't win faceoffs. He can't do, you know, certain things still yet. His only goal was a game-winning goal during the streak. I get that.
Right.
But really done nothing of any consequence. And get this. That game-winning goal, by the way,
right,
was a power play goal. So he has done nothing 5-on-5.
Ooh. Oh, neither has the Devils done anything 5-on-5 either, by the way.
Yeah, it's absolutely true. Well, then again, you get two shots on goal in the first 20 minutes, you're probably going to lose.
Yeah, but still, I mean, like, that team is not done a lot anything on 5-on-5. And yes, their power play is good, but they need more 5-on-5 goals. A lot of teams need more 5-on-5 goals, and you always look to improve.
You know, teams, let's put it this way. You know, we joke that there's like three phases: offense, defense, special teams. Well, let's twist it a little bit. Okay, so there's offense. All right, let's break this off. There's man advantage,
shorthanded,
and strength, and shorthanded. So right. Let's go to those three phases. Which teams seem to have kind of not a mastery, if you will, but a handle on it at least. Gee, why am I not surprised that the Boston Bruins are somewhere up near the top of this list?
Or the Vegas Golden Knights.
Or the Vegas Golden Knights, teams like that that are...
Or the LA Kings.
Bounce. Yeah, I mean, LA has their own issues, but they're able to at least...
Figure it out.
Outscore them.
Right.
And that's the difference right
now. So Toronto's got to figure it out too.
Toronto can't hold leads.
No, they can't hold leads, but Willie Wills was going to get paid.
No, we got to pay him.
Dude, pay me effing now, Nylander.
Show me the money.
Show me the money. Because this dude's going to get 12. I'm telling you, I talked to people today at the game. They're like, if he keeps this up, there's no one, somebody's going to offer him 12.
I don't doubt it. I mean, and it's not.
And Petey might get 13.
I don't doubt it. I don't doubt it. All right, so going into tonight, even. So it's not just that Nylander had 18 points in 13 games going into tonight. Look at the scoring chances created.
When he's on the ice.
When he's on the ice. Look at the shots and goal created. Oh, by the way, he's not playing 20, 21 minutes a night like Matthews is.
No.
He's actually playing less.
What is he playing, like 15, 16?
A little bit more than that lately. But, I mean, if you look at the overall time on ice, I mean, this is downright funny. His overall is 19 and a half right now. But over the last, like, five, six games, it's less. which is weird.
Yeah.
I mean, I get it. There's flukes, there's ebbs and flows and such. But I mean, it's not a secret, I mean, anymore. His trajectory on everything has gone up. I get it, contract year, et cetera. Yeah, whatever. But it's more than that. He's averaging darn near 5 shots a game now.
Mm-hmm. And he had 2 more goals Friday night.
Yeah. So you figure, all right, so that's 9. That's 9 in 14 games now.
What is Matthews got 13, right?
Matthews has – he's stuck on 13, that old fart. You know, he got to the magic unlucky number, and now he's
that
now
jabroni.
He's, now he's a slacker.
Slacker.
But if you look at it's kind of funny though. So whereas Nylander's been constantly getting 4, 5, 6 shots, I mean, obviously against Ottawa, Matthews had 2.
Mm-hmm.
Against the Kings, he had 2.
Mm-hmm.
Look at the teams he did well against, and oddly enough, all of those are potential playoff and playoff teams. Tampa, Buffalo, Boston.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But yet a young, fast team like Ottawa and a mobile team like LA could slow him down at least a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Interesting,
they couldn't
right?
Slow down Nylander at all.
No. No, absolutely not. Nylander is a beast.
And people are,
and Doughty, I think when they played the Kings, I was listening, and when I was talking with DB, he was saying Doughty took pride in wanting to play against Matthews and Marner.
We spoke ill of the Carlson, Jim, and look at what happens. He lights the lamp on the power play. My fantasy team's happy.
I mean, look.
Been taking a whipping lately, but
I mean, look, I'm not saying Carlson's a bad player, Leo Carlson.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't like
him mismanaged.
I think he's just being mismanaged, is correct. Like, I don't think like he's a bad player. There's a lot of pressure on Pat Verbeek to make this thing work because of who was out there,
yeah,
and who was next in line, but. I will say this, that he's a good player and he's going to do well. The question for me is, can Anaheim keep it going? Because they have a lot of work to do out there.
Yeah.
Connor Bedard's figured it out. Let's be honest. He has.
Said this all along. Give it a little time.
And he'll figure it out. Got his first 4-point game. Yep. Yeah, he did. Then he got the turnover chain in the post game celebration in the locker room, which was cool. But he's figured it out and he's rolling there. I want to bring this back to Edmonton.
Yeah.
They talk about all these goalies being added, right? I brought this up on Twitter the other day when guys like Dave Pagnotta and Anthony DeMarc from the fourth period threw Carter Hart's name out there. I was like, wait a minute. So you want Edmonton to add another good goaltender and have his career go down the toilet too, right? Because it feels like Edmonton Oilers are the Cleveland Browns of the NHL. Remember, quarterbacks went to die in Cleveland. Feels like goalies go to Edmonton and just have their games go to crap. Like Dubnyk, like Talbot, Campbell. Like the list of guys that they've tried to solve this problem with is a long list, and it doesn't work. And you have to wonder if that goes to the goaltending coach, because Billy Ranford did a heck of a job with Jack Campbell in LA, and Jack Campbell played well in Toronto.
Gotta be considered. I mean, if you're Edmonton and you're testing out full accountability and hanging everybody out to dry, well, maybe you're. Goaltending coach is a problem too.
I'm just throwing it out there.
It's got to be considered. I mean, is it? I don't know. But something doesn't seem right when you have all these goaltenders. It's look for perspective.
Because Dubnyk goes to Minnesota and is up for the Vezina.
Yeah, it is odd.
Right? Like, Talbot's figured that out, right?
At least enough to where, I mean, look, he's aging. I get it.
Yeah, but, I mean, LA's defense is also helping them.
Mm-hmm.
So, but he's giving them the Kings the save that they need.
Here's the added sort of oomph here. And this is the where we told you so. So I forgot he was around this long, but Dustin Schwartz has been the team's goaltending coach in Edmonton for now 9 years. For some reason, I thought it was less. I thought, I don't know, maybe, you know, the brain cells weren't working right. I don't know. I didn't have my Wheaties, whatever. But no, 9 years.
So Devin Dubnyk was there.
Indeed. Yeah. Here,
Talbot was there too, right?
Yeah, this is where it starts to get pretty hideous. Okay, so let's see, we had Talbot, yeah.
Oh, Mike Smith was there. But Mike Smith was very consistent for them, but he always just gave up the bad goal at the wrong time.
It's
a 50-footer, a 50-footer from the red line, and then the game completely changed.
Yeah. By the way, you know who leads the league in wins right now?
No.
Goaltenders? I mean, it's temporary after tonight, but Cam Talbot. He's tied with 7.
With Demko?
I believe with Demko. Mm-hmm.
Bubba Demko's back, by the way.
It's crazy.
I mean, I'm just saying.
It's crazy. I don't know how long it's going to last, but you know what, folks? If you have Demko in your fantasy leagues or you're a Vancouver
ride
fan,
that.
You know,
just
enjoy the wave.
Ride it.
Yep. All right, here we go. So Talbot was one of the last goalies to play 70 games in the league. He played 140 games over 2 seasons. And by the way, Edmonton. That again, this just kind of speaks sort of
the problem.
I mean, this is not a problem that has come overnight. So, all right. So going back a little more back and a little more back.
Yeah, I'm a little bit
back than that. So obviously way back in the 2014, 2015. So this was Schwartz's first year. To be fair, though, I mean, that was one awful year. Coaching change, everything else, you know.
Was you said 2014, 15?
Yeah.
The Oilers made the playoffs the next year, right?
Yep.
McDavid year, they lost to Anaheim, right?
Well, this is actually technically no. 16-17.
16-17, okay.
16-17 is where they went. They went ham, obviously, you know, McDavid. They
get
to 100 points late. But that was also, again, that was also the year where basically, you know, Talbot plays 73 games.
It's a lot of games.
I mean, I get they didn't have a choice because, of course, Brossoit was hurt.
Gee, what a shock.
And you weren't going to test just anybody. And the sad part about that was Brossoit arguably was the better goaltender by late in the season. It's just he couldn't stay healthy. So
no.
You just had to keep playing Talbot, and that's where Talbot's numbers started to go south. And not surprisingly, part of the reason why, well, all the really bad starts. I mean, if you look at this, Talbot had what they call 10 really bad starts.
Mm-hmm.
So basically 85% save percentage or worse while allowing 3 or more goals.
Sucks.
If I even go into this year's stats for Edmonton,
bad.
Just cover your, if you're an Edmonton fan right now, cover your eyes.
Please, please.
Do whatever you have to do.
Do what you have to do, people.
It's bad. It's bad.
It's okay. Real bad.
It's so freaking bad. I mean, look, I thought, I don't even, Jim, I don't even want to
Oh,
Is this trip really necessary?
It might be.
Combined through 12 games, they had five already between the
Oof.
two goaltenders.
Shakes.
So we're talking about 10 and 73 for Talbot compared to 5 and 12. There's a slight problem. By the way, Stuart Skinner, to be fair, has played a few more games. Again, it's another stat where it's like, yeah, but still, the numbers don't lie. When your goals saved above average is nearly negative 10 through 8 games.
Not good.
Yeah, that's not good. And I look, some will say that's on the goaltender most of the way, but this is system.
System. It's a system problem.
Because I mean, Jack Campbell made some. Look, nobody will say this in Edmonton, and we all saw the game with Bakersfield, and we saw the team highlight. I get it. The goalie's broken. And
it is.
And I remember this when he was in Dallas, and it's kind of it's sad. Because for all the things that Jack Campbell had done to get his career back to where it was, to see this happen again, I think is more heartbreaking the second time than it was the first time, where it looked like his career was completely done. I mean, he was getting schooled in the ECHL.
Yes, he was.
And he
Yes, he
fought
was.
Back from that to obviously have, you know, the success that he did, got back into the NHL. Got a contract, obviously, that paid him all for this to happen.
And again, he had good goalie coaches in Toronto and in LA.
And this is not the case in Edmonton. I mean, look, if Edmonton wants to make the smart move, hate to say it, gotta find a goalie coach, something.
Because Campbell was not this bad in Toronto. In fact, he wasn't the reason they lost.
Yeah, that's the irony in all of this. God, I just want to say this, but in Edmonton, the Schwartz is not with you.
No, it's not. No, bad puns, but hey, it's hockey after dark, right?
It's bad. I mean, what else is it? That's
a lot
the
of
common
things.
link.
It's a lot of things. And another common link is no good defense. And if you look at the teams that are playing good defense, Bruins, the Vegas Golden Knights, the Rangers,
I'll argue the Rangers are kind of playing above their heads. But
well, that's because Laviolette first year. Like we always say, DeBoer year
it's
one.
Isn't it crazy? Like that just
it's year one.
Oh,
like,
by the way, though, the one thing I did say that angered enough Ranger fans, even in our own ranks, Laviolette, you're going to have this thing called injuries, something that the Ranger fans are not accustomed to.
Yet they're still winning.
But they're still winning. So you have to kind of just like roll with it.
Right. So, but I was going to say, like, they're playing good defense, which has allowed their goaltending to play, be really good, especially Jonathan Quick, who is having a great season, which I didn't think.
How'd
I mean,
that
I
happen?
Yeah, I didn't think that was. I didn't. Again, he's proving a lot of people wrong right now. Great. Does it come back to earth? I don't know. Maybe. But I just want to tell you, I just want to say this. Like, you look at teams that are struggling defensively, it's not good, and it doesn't give the goaltenders confidence because the goaltenders have to do more than they think they need to do. They overcompensate. But it's going to be interesting to see what happens, especially with Zadorov, Nylander. Oh, and we'll find – and we'll spin the wheel right now on the last little segment here on Full Press Hockey After Dark. Where does Patrick Kane land? We have Buffalo, we have Detroit, we have Colorado, we got Dallas, Florida, Toronto, Carolina.
Jeez. Does all of a sudden the magnet like tilt back somewhere unexpectedly?
Rangers.
Hey, I mean, look, there's, you know, he's got a lot of history in the league. So, I mean, you have to consider that somewhat at least.
Does somebody go nink, a wink, wink, nudge, nudge? You sign him, you retain salary at the deadline, we pick him up.
I still think that's the most likely scenario at this point.
Because let's be honest, in the next couple of weeks, he's going to make a decision. Does he really – do people really think he's going to be on the ice before Christmas with his team?
No. Nor should he be. If his handlers and he has an ounce of common sense.
No.
Wait a little while.
We'll see. We'll find out. It's going to be interesting. But, ladies and gentlemen, this has been the Full Press Weekly Show After Dark. It's like Jerry's After Dark, only better. Get it? iTunes, Spotify, where you get your podcast. Check it out at Full Press NHL Twitter. Full Press coverage, Full Press Hockey on Facebook, fullpresshockey.com. Full Press coverage on YouTube. We're everywhere in Toronto, Atlantic City, coast to coast. You can find us. This has been Jim Berenger, the host of the Full Press Hockey Weekly Show, the voice of Full Press Hockey, on site at the Hockey Hall of Fame weekend. Chris Wassel in Jersey. And the third member of the NWO, get it up. Ian, we always thank you. But again, Full Press Hockey Weekly, iTunes, Spotify, where you get your podcast. People, enjoy the weekend. Take care.